script of your life, and everyone else in the universe is playing the part that you have assigned to them. You can literally script any life that you desire, and the universe will deliver to you the people, places, and events just as you decide them to be. For you are the creator of your own experience. You have only to decide it and allow it to be. Abraham, speak to us more about scripting. Scripting is one of those processes that we offer to assist you in telling the universe the way you want it to be. If you are already in vibrational harmony with your desire, you know it, because your desire is already a physical reality. But if there is something that you want that has not yet come to fruition, then scripting is a good way to speed it up. Scripting will help you break your habit of talking about things as they are, and will help you begin talking about how you would like things to be. Scripting will help you offer your vibration deliberately. Script the plot you'd like to live. We would begin by identifying ourselves as the central character. Then we would identify the other main characters in the scenario, and then we would write the plot. It is most effective if you write it, especially in the beginning, because writing is your most powerful point of focus, but you do not have to keep writing it over and over again. One day a woman was practicing one of her scripts with us, and she said, "I see two people walking down the beach." We teased her by asking, "Well, are you one of them?" The point we were making was that the whole point of writing the script is to begin to feel life experiences in the way that you would like to live them. The purpose of this process is to practice the feeling of the life you would like to live. The universe does not know or care if what you are vibrating is in response to something that you are living or in response to something that you are imagining. In either case, the universe will deliver it to you. If you regurgitate your script often enough, you begin to accept it as reality. And when you are accepting it in the way you accept reality, the universe believes it and responds in the same way. Process number 10. The placemat process. When to use this process? When you want to more effectively utilize your universal manager? When you want to create your own reality more through the flowing of energy? When you want to create your own reality less through the offering of your own action? When you feel you have too much to do? When you want more time to do more things that bring you pleasure? Current emotional set point range. This placemat process will be of the most value to you when your emotional set point is ranging somewhere between 2, passion, and 11, overwhelmment. If you're not sure what your current emotional set point is, turn back to Chapter 22 and scan the 22 categories on the Emotional Guidance Scale. As Jerry and Esther's life evolved and as their ideas and projects expanded, Esther began carrying a notebook that contained her list of things she needed to do. The list had evolved to several pages and was comically called Things to Do Today. Well, 10 people could not have accomplished this list in only one day. With each new entry to her list, Esther felt heavier and less free. Because of her desire to be of value and because of her willing nature, she had created a huge sense of responsibility, and her feeling of freedom was being crushed by the weight of it. Sitting in a restaurant and waiting for their meal to be delivered to the table, Esther pored through the pages of her list. Occasionally, she would cross off something already accomplished, and immediately, with each omission, she would think of 3 more things to add to the list. As a sense of hopelessness washed through her, she asked us, "Abraham, what should I do?" "Take this large paper placemat," we explained, "and we will guide you. Draw a line down the center of your placemat, and as a heading on the left side of the line, write, 'Things I will do today.' As a heading on the right side of the line, write, 'Things I would like the universe to do.' Now, looking over your long Things to Do Today list, select only those things that you absolutely intend to do this day, things you feel you must do, things you really want to do. Select only those things that, no matter what, you intend to do today, and enter them on the left side of your placemat beneath the heading, 'Things I Will Do Today.' And now enter all other tasks on the universe's side of your placemat. Esther looked over the list and chose a handful of things that she really did need to do this day, and she entered them on her side of the placemat. And then she began transferring her long list of remaining important things to the universe's side of the placemat. One by one she transferred her tasks to the right side of the line, and as each task was transferred, she felt lighter. We explained to Esther that in order to achieve anything, she has only two things to accomplish. She must identify her object of desire, and then she must get out of the way of letting it happen. In other words, ask, and then find a way of achieving a vibration that allows it, because it is always given whenever you ask. As Esther had been poring over her long list of responsible tasks, she was certainly amplifying the asking part of the equation, but her confusion and feelings of overwhelmment were certain emotional indicators that she was not in the vibrational state of allowing in what she had been asking for. During the process of transferring these items to the universe's side of the placemat, her resistance began to soften, and her vibration began to lift. And while she did not realize it in the moment, her point of attraction had shifted, and she had begun, immediately, to allow the realization of her desires. What Esther experienced in the next few days left her feeling amazed. Not only was she able to easily accomplish her own short and manageable list, but the items on the universe's side of the placemat were accomplished too, but without requiring Esther's time, attention, or action. People she had been unable to reach by telephone called her. Employees on her staff felt inspired to assist in some way, and they would accomplish something that was on Esther's list and then report it to her after it was done without Esther's attention or request. Time seemed to stretch to allow more to be accomplished, and her timing with people and places and traffic improved dramatically. The placemat process caused Esther to focus her desires more specifically and, for the first time, to release her resistance regarding the same, for when you ask, it is always given. But you have to let it in. Abraham, speak to us more about the placemat process. Very often, whenever Esther and Jerry are having lunch, Esther gets a big piece of paper from her purse, and then they draw a line right down the middle of the paper. On the left side they write, "Things to do today, Jerry and Esther." On the right side of the paper they write, "Things to do, Universe." On their side of the page they write the things they plan to take action on that day. On the other side, they write what they would like the Universe to act upon. Esther has always been a big maker of lists. She often has about 10 days' work on her things to do today list, and very often the list has served as an excuse to become overwhelmed. In other words, with so many things to do that she cannot possibly accomplish, the things to do list has sort of dragged her down. But what she is discovering now is that she only puts on her list what she really intends to do. And in that way, there is very little resistance, even with respect to the things she is going to do. And anything else that she wants to do, whether it's today, a year from today, or 10 years from today, she writes on the right side of the list and allows the universe to deal with it. As they left a restaurant one day, Jerry said, "Do you want to take that placemat with you?" And Esther replied, "This is the best part. There's no follow-up." She left the list on the table. She left it there for the universe to deal with. There is no follow-up, you see. Not anything for her to drag around and hound herself about. And so, these are the sorts of things that you are doing there when you understand that there is this constant steady stream of well-being flowing to you. In the moment that you say, "I prefer," or "I like," or "I appreciate," or "I want," the heavens part for you, and the non-physical energies in that instant begin orchestrating the manifestation of your desire. In that instant, faster than you can speak it, the energy begins to flow, and circumstances and events, in an orchestration that we cannot begin to describe, begin to fall into place in order to give you exactly what you want. And if it were not for your resistance, things would happen really fast. Are you clear about what you want? You do not have to keep telling the universe what you want. You only have to tell the universe once. But the advantage of continuing to talk about it is that you get clearer about it. Usually, you cannot clearly articulate everything you want with your first statement, So the more you talk about it, the more you fine-tune it. But as you say, I want it, the universe begins manifesting it. And then when you say, I would like it to be this way, the universe modifies it. You say, and a little bit of this would be nice, and the universe, well, you see what we're getting at? And once you are clear about what you want, once you have zeroed in on it and you know what you want, it is on its way to you. It is done. The manifestation of it will probably follow later, however, because most often there is enough resistance that you will not receive it instantly. Process number 11. Segment intending. When to use this process? When you want your influence to dominate during a particular segment of your day. When you recognize the potential of something not going quite right and you want to make sure it goes the way you want. When time or money is especially important to you and you want to make the most of it. Current emotional set point range. This segment intending process will be of the most value to you when your emotional set point is ranging somewhere between 4, positive expectation, belief, and 11, overwhelmment. If you are not sure what your current emotional set point is, turn back to chapter 22, scan the 22 categories on the emotional guidance scale. It is easier to begin with a fresh, less powerful thought, and then focus upon it and cause it to expand, than to try to change an already expanded powerful thought. In other words, it is easier to create an improved future experience than it is to change a current existing experience. If you are experiencing a physical condition that has your attention, you are, through your attention to your current condition, projecting it onto your future experience. But by focusing on a different future experience, you are now activating that different experience. And as you project that changed experience into your future, you leave your current experience behind. That is the power of the process of segment intending. It is the process whereby you define the vibrational characteristics of the time segment you are moving into. It is a way of pre-paving your vibrational path, so to speak, for easier and more enjoyable travel. If you are in a bad mood, meaning there is considerable resistance in your vibrational frequency, then, because you do not have access to very different thoughts from where you currently are, you usually project that same vibrational expectation into the segment that you are moving into. For that reason, we encourage the application of segment intending when you are already feeling good. If you are feeling bad in this moment, try one of the other processes in order to improve your current mood and point of attraction. And then, once you are feeling better, you could return to this powerful segment intending process. This process will help you be more deliberate about focusing your thought. It will help you become more aware of where your thoughts currently are, and it will help you to be able to more deliberately choose the thoughts that you offer. In time, it will feel very natural to you to stop for a moment upon entering a new segment and direct your own intent or expectation. You enter a new segment any time your intentions change. If you are washing dishes and the telephone rings, you enter a new segment. When you get into your vehicle, you enter a new segment. When another person walks into the room, you enter a new segment. If you will take the time to get your thought of expectation started even before you are inside your new segment, you will be able to set the tone of the segment more specifically than if you walk into the segment and begin to observe it as it already is. For example, you're cooking dinner and are enjoying the rhythm and flow you have established. Everything is on schedule, and you expect everything to turn out just right. The telephone rings. You enter a new segment. You set forth the intention not to answer the telephone. You set forth the intention that your answering device can take the call, and you set forth the intention that you will return the call later when you have time. So the rhythm and flow of your meal preparation is not disrupted. Your segment changed slightly, but you maintained your balance, and all is well. Or the telephone rings, you enter a new segment. You remember that you've been expecting an important call, and you do not want to miss it. You set your intentions for the segment to be efficient and brief, and to gather the information quickly and politely. And because of the positive flow you already have going, your positive expectation dovetails into that perfectly. So you have prepared the conversation even before you pick up the telephone, to comply with your good-feeling intentions. You are actually pre-paving your future experiences constantly without even knowing you are doing so. You are continually projecting your expectations into your future experiences, and this segment intending process helps you to consciously consider what you are projecting, and it gives you control of your future segments. You can pre-pave future experiences that are immediate or experiences that are in your more distant future, and once you have an opportunity to see how your deliberate thought positively impacts your experiences, you will want to do it even more. And like all processes, the more you apply it, the more skilled you become and the more fun it is, and the more effective your results will be. If the new segment includes something that you have never enjoyed doing, segment intending is not the best process to apply. Of course, it is better than no deliberate intention at all, but when you have an opportunity, it would be of value to apply one of the more heavy-duty processes, processes number 13 to number 22, to this project. For example, you're going to visit your mother-in-law, who you believe has never liked you, or you are on your way to work in a two-person office with someone who annoys you in many ways. Whenever you are setting forth your intentions about how you want to feel and how you would like the segment to unfold, it is always beneficial if, when you find yourself struggling for a positive scenario, that you do not continue the process. Change the subject in your mind, think about something pleasant, and apply another process later. Abraham, speak to us more about segment intending. You are living in a highly technological society where you have access to stimulation of thought from all around your world. You benefit from all this, for it provides you an opportunity for much growth, but you also experience some disadvantages from the stimulation of thought, and the disadvantage comes forth in the form of confusion. For while your ability to focus on a more narrow subject brings forth clarity, your ability to focus upon many things at once brings confusion. You are receptive beings. Your thought processes are very fast, and as you are considering any one subject, you have the ability, by the power of the law of attraction, to bring forth more and more clarity upon the subject until you can accomplish anything regarding it. But because of the availability of so much stimulation of thought, very few of you remain focused upon anything long enough to take it forward very far. Most of you are so distracted by so much thought that you do not have an opportunity to develop any one thought to any great degree. Here is the key to your deliberate creation. The point of the segment intending process is to clearly identify what you want so that you can deliberately begin to set forth the attraction of that which you want. Here is the key to your deliberate creation. See yourself as a magnet, attracting unto you the way you feel at any point in time. When you feel clear and in control, you will attract circumstances of clarity. When you feel happy, you will attract circumstances of happiness. When you feel healthy, you will attract circumstances of health. When you feel prosperous, you will attract circumstances of prosperity. When you feel loved, you will attract circumstances of love. The way you feel is actually your point of attraction. And so, the value of the segment intending process is to encourage you to pause many times during the day to say, "This is what I want from this period of my life experience. I want it, and I expect it." And as you set forth those powerful words, you become what we call a selective sifter. You attract into your experience what you want. However, the reason why segments are so effective is because although there are many things you want to consider, when you try to consider them all at the same time, you become overwhelmed and confused. The value of your intending, segment by segment, is that you do not try to chew on so much at any one time. You say, "What is it that I want now?" If you want many things all at the same time, it adds confusion. But when you only focus upon the specifics of what you want in any particular moment, you bring clarity and power to your creation, and therefore, speed. And that is the point of segment intending, to stop as you are entering a new segment, and to identify what it is you want most so that you may give your attention to, and therefore draw power unto, that. Some of you are focused during some segments of your day's experience. but there are very few of you who are focused much of your day, and so an identification of segments and an intent to identify what is most important within those segments will put you in the position of being a deliberate magnetic attractor or creator in each of your segments throughout your day. Not only will you find that you are more productive, but you will find that you are happier, for as you are deliberately intending and then allowing and receiving, you will find great contentment. You are growth-seeking beings, and as you are moving forward, you are at your happiest. When you are having a feeling of stagnation, you are not at your happiest. An example of a segment intending day. We would like to guide you through an example of a day where you may be deliberately intending as you are recognizing that you are moving into new segments. Let us say that you have decided to apply this process before going to bed at the end of the day, and you recognize that entering into a sleep state will be a new segment of life experience. And so, as you are lying there on the pillow, getting ready to sleep, set forth the intention of refreshing your physical apparatus and imagine yourself awakening the next day feeling refreshed. As you open your eyes in the morning, recognize that you have now entered into a new segment of life experience, and from the time you remain in bed until the time you remove yourself from it is a segment. Set forth your intent for that time. While I'm lying here, I'm intending to have a clear picture of this day. I'm intending to become exhilarated and excited about this day. And then, as you are lying there, you will begin to feel that refreshment and exuberance about the upcoming day. As you get out of bed, you have now entered into a new segment of life experience. This may be the segment that you are preparing yourself for that day. And so, as you are brushing your teeth or taking your bath or doing whatever it is you do in the segment, let your intent be to do it efficiently, to enjoy yourself, to have it be an uplifting time that prepares you for the day. As you are preparing breakfast, let your intent be to do it efficiently and to select that which is most nutritionally balanced for your physical apparatus at this point in time. Let your intent be that you will be replenished or refreshed by it and that you will enjoy it. And as you set forth this intention, you will notice that as you are eating, you are feeling more rejuvenated, more replenished, and more refreshed, and you will enjoy the food more than if you had not set forth that intent to do so. As the telephone rings, recognize that you are now about to enter a new segment, and as you pick up the phone, identify who it is and then clearly set forth your intent before you begin speaking. As you get into your vehicle or as you are traveling to your place of work or wherever it is you're going, let your intent be to travel from one place to another in safety, to feel invigorated and happy as you are moving forth, to be aware of what the other drivers are intending or not intending, so that you may move through traffic in a sort of flow, safely and efficiently. When you get out of your vehicle, you have now entered into a new segment. And so, pause for a moment and imagine yourself walking from where you are to where you're intending to go, seeing yourself feeling good as you walk, intending that you will move efficiently and safely from point to point, intending to feel the vitality of your apparatus, intending to feel the clarity of your thinking mechanism, and setting forth your vision or your intention for the next segment in which you are about to enter. Imagine greeting the secretary, the employees, or the employer. Imagine seeing yourself as one who uplifts others, having a smile ready, recognizing that everyone you meet is not deliberate in their intending, but knowing that by your deliberate intending, you will be in control of your life experience, and you will not be swept up by their confusion, their intent, or their influence. Of course, your segments will not be just as we have offered, and they will not be the same from day to day. In the beginning, you will find that you are not so quick to identify your segments as you will be after you have done it for a while. For some, you may find it more efficient and effective to carry a small notebook and physically stop and identify the segment while you write a list of your intentions in your notebook. For as you are writing, you will find yourself at your strongest point of clarity and at your strongest point of focus. And so, in the beginning of this deliberate segment intending, you may find the notebook a very great and valuable asset. As you are moving through such a day, you will feel the power and the momentum of your intentions building. You will find yourself feeling gloriously invincible. You will feel as if there is nothing that you cannot be, do, or have as you are seeing yourself again and again in creative control of your own life experience. Process number 12. Wouldn't it be nice if... When do you use this process? When you find yourself leaning toward the negative and therefore offering resistance and you want to turn it around to something more positive. When you are already feeling good and you want to focus more specifically on certain areas of your life to make them even better. When you want to gently guide a negative or potentially negative conversation to a more positive place for your benefit or to gently guide someone else. Current emotional set point range. This "wouldn't it be nice if" process will be of the most value to you when your emotional set point is ranging somewhere between 4, positive expectation, belief, and 16, discouragement. If you are not sure what your current emotional set point is, turn back to Chapter 22 and scan the 22 categories on the Emotional Guidance Scale. When you say, "I want this thing to happen that hasn't happened yet," you are not only activating the vibration of your desire, but you are also activating a vibration of the absence of your desire. So nothing changes for you. And often, even when you do not speak the second part of the sentence and you say only, "I want this to happen," there is an unspoken vibration within you that continues to hold you in a state of not allowing your desire. But when you say, "Wouldn't it be nice if this desire would come to me?" you achieve a different sort of expectation that is much less resistant in nature. Your question to yourself naturally elicits from you a more positive, expectant response. And so this simple but powerful game will cause a rising of your vibration and an improvement in your point of attraction because it naturally orients you toward the things that you want. The "wouldn't it be nice if" process will help you let in the things that you have been asking for on all subjects. Wouldn't it be nice if we had the best time we ever had with these friends? Wouldn't it be nice if the traffic is light and we have a wonderful trip? Wouldn't it be nice if I had a really productive day at work? Or the subject may be to find a wonderful new relationship. For instance, wouldn't it be nice if I find the most spectacular partner who adores me in the same way that I adore him? Wouldn't it be nice if I find someone and we waltz off into the sunset together? Wouldn't it be nice if there's someone out there who's looking for somebody just like me? The reason the "wouldn't it be nice if" game is so important and so powerful is because when you say, "Wouldn't it be nice if," you are choosing something that you want, and you're being soft and easy about it. In other words, it is not the end of the world. It is a much softer vibration. For example, let us say you want to reduce your body weight. Here is a "wouldn't it be nice if" example for you. Wouldn't it be nice if I stumbled onto something that really worked for me? Wouldn't it be nice if my metabolism began to cooperate with me a little more? Wouldn't it be nice if the desires that I've been holding on for a long time sort of came to a peak, like a guiding light? Wouldn't it be nice if I could meet someone who's just run across something that really worked for them, which would light a fire in me? Wouldn't it be nice if I could reclaim the body weight I had when I was such and such an age? Wouldn't it be nice if I looked like I did in this picture? Your logic would tell you, "Hey, I've been at this for a long time. If I knew how to do it, or if I was good at it, I'd have already gotten it done." So you are contradicting your own desire. And so you would hold yourself in that vibration. However, when you are playing the "wouldn't it be nice if," much of that vibration is diffused. Wouldn't it be nice if my physical body came into alignment with my dream? Wouldn't it be nice if I discovered this to be much easier than it's ever been before? Wouldn't it be nice if I came into energy alignment and everything around me came into vibrational harmony with that? Wouldn't it be nice if the cells of my body cooperate with the mental picture that I'm holding? Wouldn't it be nice if I could feel ease about my body? Wouldn't it be nice if my physical body began responding differently to food? Wouldn't it be nice if I began feeling a greater inspiration to exercise? Wouldn't it be nice if the food-burning characteristics of my body kicked into high gear and this process turned into an easy, almost effortless scenario? Wouldn't it be nice if my ideas about food came into alignment so that I find myself taking such pleasure from foods that are really in vibrational harmony with